Tonight, please, to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. It's an Old Testament book right after the book of Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And just keep going a little bit further, and you'll find the book of Ruth there. The book of Ruth is truly a love story. It's truly a story of the love of God. It's a story, as we've been kind of tracking in it, of the mercy of God. It's a story of the grace of God. It is filled, really, with overwhelmingly with the grace of God. And what you find in the book of Ruth, it's a story, of course. Somebody said the story is really a book. It's a story about Ruth. Well, it's really more a story about God's grace. Amen. It's a story about the kinsman redeemer, of course, which is a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, real quick, just keep in mind that when you read these Old Testament stories, Jesus is there if you'll look for him. This isn't just, you know, black words on a white piece of paper. This is the inspired word of God, and it is a story of redemption. And we know much about redemption. Of course, in the New Testament, the New Testament's filled with redemption, the Old Testament as well. But of course, you know, as one writer said, in the Old Testament, you have Jesus concealed, even though he's there. He's concealed in the sense that you have to dig a little to really see him in it. But when you come to the New Testament, of course, it's the New Testament is Jesus revealed. You know, he comes, he's virgin born, he lives a sinless life, he goes to the cross of Calvary, he suffers, he bleeds, he dies, they bury his body, he rises again 3 days later. And we know the reason he did that, of course, not only to fulfill the demands of a holy God, but also to make it possible for people to be born again, to make it possible for people to be redeemed through his shed blood. Redemption, of course, if you think of the word redeemed, of course, you know, redemption, the study of redemption, the word redeemed means to be bought with a price, to be bought back, to be bought with a price. When you come to the story of the book of Ruth, we ended last Wednesday night with Ruth and Naomi. They've now come back to Bethlehem. If you back up just a little bit, of course, in the start of the story of the book of Ruth, it's a time. The book of Ruth is a gold nugget in this time of history. It's a time in which the Bible tells us the judges ruled. Of course, we know from the very last verse of the book of Judges, the book right before Ruth, there was no king in Israel. You remember that? Not to be repetitive, but just to kind of sum up what's happening now. No king in Israel. Every man did that, the Bible says. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which that's dangerous. Amen? When we go by what we see, your eyes will deceive you. And we talked about truth being objective in the sense that, you know, if it's, you know, it's not subjective, not to bore you with big terms, but understand that when it comes to, you know, God's word is true regardless of our culture. Can I get a witness in the building? God's word is truth, and it is true, and it absolutely, many times people say, well, the Bible's an archaic book, and the Bible is not applicable in today's culture. The Bible really, no, friend. The Bible is just as relevant today as it was 4,000 years ago. Can I get a witness in the building? Because the Bible is alive. It's the living book. God's word is the only book that has God as the author. And God tells us exactly what he wants to know, what he wants us to know in his word. You may have people say, well, preacher, what do you do with the passages in the Bible that you don't understand? Well, I'll just tell you something. Just hear my heart tonight when it comes to the word of God. It isn't the passages that I don't understand that I have trouble with. It's the passages that I do understand and try to be obedient to. Amen? So in the context of that, you guys are amen to me. I'm going a different direction. So hang on. So the book of Ruth, it's a story of redemption. It's a story of the love of God. It's a story of how God sends a kinsman redeemer to bring Ruth, a Moabitess girl, a pagan girl, an outcast to the nation of Israel. According to the law of God, according to the law of God, there is no way she could come into God's family. But you know what I'm grateful to God for? The law was given by Moses, but guess where grace came? It came by Jesus. And this is introduction. I'm pretty fired up about this. By way of introduction on this thought, if you and I hope you'll get a hold of this. I pray to God you'll get a hold of this. If it were up to the law of God to get you and I to heaven, we'd all be in hell. You didn't hear me. If it was up to the law of God, meaning, you know, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do this. If it was up to us to live by the law of God, we couldn't do it. Only Jesus did. Only Jesus fulfilled the law. So the law was given by Moses, but grace came by Jesus. What gets us in? The grace and mercy of a Savior. That's what gets us in. The grace and mercy, in the context of Ruth, the grace and mercy of a kinsman redeemer. Ruth chapter 2, we find now in chapter 2, Naomi, the whole family, in the beginning of chapter 1, the whole family leaves Jerusalem. They leave Bethlehem, Judah. The Bethlehem, the house of bread, Judah, praise. They leave the house of God and praise, and they go down to Moab. They dwell in Moab. The Bible says they went down there to sojourn, just stay a little while. But they didn't do that. And that's often what happens in our life. We have a mentality when we walk by sight, not by faith. When we do that which is right in our own eyes, Elimelech, who the dad, my God is king, is what his name means. Naomi, pleasant, is what her name means. Her two boys, Mahlon, Chilion, puny and pining is what their names mean, the original language. That's what their names mean. But they're a family that loves God. They're a family that seeks to serve the Lord, but a famine strikes the land, and that was a famine of God's judgment. God brings judgment on the land of Israel because of their sin. God brings judgment on it, and yet they leave the land of, you know, they leave the house of God in praise, bread in prayer. They leave that. They go down to Moab, which the Bible calls Moab. God called Moab his garbage can, literally, his wash pot. So they go down to Moab, and while they're in Moab, you remember this? While they're in Moab, Elimelech dies. So Naomi's a widow now, but now Mahlon and Chilion die. They had already married two girls from Moab, Ruth and Orpah, and now Ruth and Orpah are widows. And when we left the story last Wednesday night, Naomi and Ruth, Orpah goes back to her kindred, she goes back to her God, she goes back to her family, and Ruth says, no, I can't, and I'm going with you, I'm going with you all the way. Your people are going to be my people, your God's going to be my God. So Naomi, she comes back, and we ended in the latter part of chapter 1, where Naomi and Ruth, they come to Bethlehem, Judah. And as the women, the people are all excited, Naomi's come home after a 10 years they were in Moab. After 10 years, Naomi comes home. They come home during the time, beginning of barley harvest, which was a time of Passover, which is an outstanding illustration of the grace of God as well. We studied the Passover last Wednesday night. We talked about that out of Exodus. But so Naomi, they come back. We come now to chapter 2 and verse 1, and that's where we're at after 11-minute introduction. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. You say, you've already preached. Well, I won't get paid if I don't preach longer. Okay, let's look at verse. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. I'm telling you, right there, you could stop and preach for 4 days saying, thank God she had a kinsman. Thank the Lord Jesus, Naomi had a kinsman. And we're going to talk about this kinsman here in a minute. A mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name, and his name was Boaz. You're going to find, I'm going to whet your appetite a little bit. You're going to find that Boaz is a picture, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he does for Ruth is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. And I hope that you say, man, this is going to be pretty good then. Yeah, it is. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the word of God. Verse 2 says, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. They had an interesting welfare system under God's law in Jerusalem. Here's what their welfare system consisted of. they would allow, you know, as they were reaping the harvest, and say they were reaping barley or they were reaping the corn, the gleaners were doing that. If they dropped some, they couldn't pick it up. They had to leave it. And the welfare system was basically anyone that needed it could then come and pick it up and have that for food, have that for nourishment. That's what their system was and consisted of. And God's law allowed that to happen. So Naomi, and so here's Naomi and Ruth. Ruth's a Moabitess. She's of a nation where God said was a garbage can. And as far as God's law was concerned, there was no way she would get in. And yet now, but because of the provision, she's able to go and pick up pieces and live by the scraps, live by what was dropped. But before this story's over, man, it's going to be incredible up to what God brings into her life because of Boaz. And the Bible tells us, and she went, verse 3, and came and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field, to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So when the Bible says her hap, it literally means she just so happened, just kind of accidentally, as far as in a human perspective, just kind of by chance happened to land in the field of Boaz, who, oh, by the way, was a kinsman redeemer. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, be our teacher, be our guide. And Father, we will praise you, Father. May we praise you for being our kinsman redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy name I pray. And amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm telling you, this is an amazing passage of Scripture. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. What's so amazing about grace? What's so amazing about grace? You'll hear preachers say all the time, grace. You'll hear songs, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, save a wretch like me. I mean, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. You'll hear song after song after song after song talking about the grace of God. What is grace of God? Well, grace, it actually has a brother, if you will. You know, grace and mercy, anytime you hear grace mentioned, often you'll hear it followed up by mercy. And as best as I can, I'm going to kind of give you an understanding of the grace of God. Of course, we told you the other day that the grace of God is just simply God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, but you have to understand a little bit more about grace. Grace, simply put, is us as born-again believers in Jesus, meaning there was a time we repented of our sin, we called upon God to be our Savior, and by faith we believed the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, rose again for us individually, and God saved us. Grace is us getting what we do not deserve. That's grace. Let me illustrate it. I'm going to heaven when I die because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Grace made that possible, right? Grace makes that possible. I'm here as your pastor tonight and not lost in my sins, playing music as a lost person in a bar with no direction in their life, with no God in their life other than themselves. And that's all because of grace. Amen? I mean, to know that the Lord Jesus, we're not consumed. The Bible says the mercy of God are renewed. Every morning they're renewed. But in the context of grace, you know, God gave us in Jesus what we didn't deserve any of it. Can I get a witness here? We didn't deserve anything, ladies and gentlemen, other than hell. Grace, man. Marvelous grace, the songwriter said. So grace is just simply, the best I can explain it to you is us getting what we do not deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We do not deserve heaven. We deserve hell. We do not deserve it. You know, sadly and tragically, our culture, and honestly, and there's so many directions I could go in this direction, but I'm gonna stop it. But our culture has gotten overwhelmed with the spirit of entitlement attitude in our culture. Amen. Can I get a witness there? Is that not our culture? I mean, I've got to park here for a minute. the water situation in Detroit. You want water? Pay for it. No, let me say it like this. If you want free water, get you a bucket, go down to the Detroit River, and fill it up, man. Have at it, drink all of it. But if you want clean water, that's sanitary, that isn't going to hurt you, pay for it to get clean. No one owes you anything. No one owes you. You know, when it comes to kids, honestly, my wife and I were talking the other day. We talk a lot about this. We talk a lot. My wife talks a lot. Steve Jankowski, amen that. I can't believe he amen that. I'm just kidding. With kids. You say, well, you know, I buy my kids everything. We don't. You say, well, preacher, I want my kids growing up with more than I had. Well, yes, and I think every parent in here, you know, perhaps wants your children to have maybe more than you did. But please, and I'm begging you as your preacher, do not instill in your children a sense of entitlement. Because you know why? Let me tell you why. You will never get them out of your basement. Can I get a witness? You won't do it. No. Entitlement. You know what? Tragically and sadly, there's a lot of Christian people have a spirit of entitlement. Well, why didn't God give me that? Well, I look around and I see all these people that, man, these Christian people, they have this, and I don't have this. May I go on record and make a statement and hear my heart in this? If God never did another thing for us, we got more than we deserve. Amen? So grace, man, there's so much in this. I'm not going to get too far in this. Is that all right? Grace, God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy. What's mercy? Now, if you're not careful, you'll hear my statement and you'll think, well, wait a minute, that's grace. But listen very closely. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Right? What do we deserve? Hell. What do we deserve? Eternity in hell. What do we deserve? Forever separated from God. God, listen, friend. God didn't owe me anything. He didn't owe me salvation. That's why John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Paul said in the church at Ephesus that salvation, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that know yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, friend, is not earned. Salvation on the authority of the Bible is a free gift. That's what salvation is. God, it's a gift of God. Mercy is me not, you and I, not getting what we deserve. You disobey the Lord, what do we deserve? To get your rear end beat. That's the best vernacular I can give you from Kentucky. Amen. To get whooped. Mercy says, I'm a long-suffering God. Mercy says, I'm not going to do that. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve right now. You know what? And to all of us parents here tonight, we would all do well to practice grace and mercy in our parenting with our children. You said, preacher, you just said you don't want to raise children with a spirit of entitlement. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why my boys and my children with camp, and camp's expensive, man, Teen Revolution, and I'm all for, and I thank God for the let me back this up for a minute. When I first came here to Emmanuel, and we had camp, we have a very giving church. Amen? Very, very giving church. If something is ever mentioned from this pulpit that there's a need, you all every time have responded. And when it came to camp, we would say, hey, we'd like to send some kids to camp, and if you'd like to sponsor a kid. So we were having a lot of people sponsor kids, and the kids weren't doing anything to earn it. You say, preacher, well, why would you want them to earn it? So that they would appreciate what they have. So they would appreciate when they do get to camp, you know what? I worked hard for this to be a possibility for me to come. My children, we try to teach them a work ethic. You can ask my kids, not braggadociously as their father, but throughout the summers when we'd go to Teen Revolution, they would work. They would help scrap. That's why I do that, just so you know. This church takes very, very good care of me. But I was telling some of the men, I said, my boys, as a pastor, it's limited as far as in the context of teaching your boys, labor, hard labor and stuff. And I said, so we would do a little scrapping here and there. And my boys, they earned their, not bragging, just hear my heart in this, through their work and hard work, they earned their way to camp plus $100 spending money. Toby, one morning, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, I said, Cameron, go get Toby up. Cameron went in, he said, Toby, and get up, Toby. Toby says, tell Dad I don't need any more spending money. Say, what'd you do with him? We got him up, man. But you teach him a hard work ethic. Where am I going with that? I have no idea where I was going with that. But other than the fact that mercy is us, God doesn't give us what we deserve. We don't. You say, preacher, wait a minute. You keep saying, and you've said 4 or 5 times already, that if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell tonight. Why is that? Because we've sinned. That's why. We've sinned. We're sinners before God. And because we're sinners, we say, but preacher, just like my friend Jamie Gentry, the story there. Just like my friend Jamie Gentry said, one of the first people I witnessed to, Jamie said to me, Tracy, he said to me, I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen. Like I told you, I know he was lying. We used to steal candy out of the bar. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. I know, but I never stole and I never killed anybody. I'm not a bad person. You don't have to be a bad person to die and go to hell. There's a lot of good people that do. You say, why, preacher? Because they're trusting in themselves other than trusting in Jesus to get to heaven when they die. If you're trusting in any other thing but Jesus to go to heaven, you're trusting in the wrong thing. You are. I promise you are. So let's dig into this just a few minutes. I let you all out really, really early last week, and you didn't know what to do with yourself. I did. I let you out early last week, and you're like, what do I do now? There's 20 minutes before it's 8:30. It's only 10 after 8. What do I do? So by popular demand, I'm going to keep you a little longer. So let's just kind of dig this. So what's so amazing about grace? Well, let me give you a few thoughts real quick. First of all, notice the reach of grace. What's amazing about grace? It's amazing because of its reach. It reaches into places that listen, grace, remember what grace was? Getting what we do not deserve. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. Very similar sounding, but absolutely this far apart in a sense of understanding of what they are. Grace, getting what we do not deserve. You and I, we don't deserve heaven, but we're going there if we're born again. Amen? We do not, listen, we do not deserve to have to be reunited with loved ones that died in Christ. But because of grace, it's all possible. I can't wait on Saturday. I honestly, as a preacher of the gospel, this thrills my soul to say on Saturday, to Courtney and Richard, who profess that they know Jesus as their Savior, and there's evidence in their life that they truly trust in Christ as their Savior, and to be able to say to them, listen, this is not the end, man. This is not the end. They're going to have that little casket and that little body there in that casket. This is not the end. This is temporary. We're going to see her one of these days. And it's all, many of you, honestly, many of you in our church, not just one or two, many of you in our church have lost children. You say, miscarriages. You say, preacher, miscarriage, lost child. That's a baby, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to see them one of these days if you have Christ as your Savior. My granddaddy, who was larger than life in my life, loved the Lord Jesus, the preacher of the gospel. Him and my granny raised me because of Jesus, man. Because of Jesus. I'm going to see him again. I'm a little bigger than I was when they left here. I can hear my little granny say, in my mind, I can hear this. I can hear her saying this. Why'd you let yourself go and get that big four? She used to say that when people gain a little weight. But because of Jesus, I'm going to see them again. And I know as human beings, if you're like me, I know sometimes as human beings, we can't get our mind around that. We can't get our mind around that biblical truth. But ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Bible, not this preacher, but on the authority of the Bible, grace. Grace allows you to offer Courtney and Richard, to offer them the hope of reunion. It's all because of grace. God's riches, now understand it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. That's why Brother Dana sent me a text today. I sent a text out today to a lot of the Sunday school teachers. The ones that I had their cell phones for, I may have missed a couple, but I didn't do it intentionally. But I was sitting, my wife and I were sitting and eating lunch. And I read a little quote from our new Explore the Bible series. And I'm telling you, if you're not in Sunday school, get in Sunday school, man. You can't imagine the depth of this material and just amazing material that we're using. We're studying through Hebrews now, which is outstanding. But I sent out a little encouragement to many of the teachers and got a lot of responses back. And some of them didn't respond. I'm going to talk to them about that later. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Some of them didn't respond, probably busy or whatever. But anyway, Brother Dana sent me a response back. He said, "Preacher," he said, "oh man," he said, we've got to witness to more people. We got to tell more people about Jesus and lead more people to Christ." And why is that? Because our goal and our heart should be to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. Amen. And that's all because, it's all because of grace. To know that what we've received in Jesus Christ, listen, the reach of grace, I'm not going to get into that passage more. I'm just talking from my heart, especially what's going on lately, the last few days. Reunion is possible because of grace. We've had, in the context of reunion, we've had some of the most precious, Brother Tommy, some of the most precious saints of God pass away in the last few years. I think of Brother and Sister Hurst. I think of Brother Coleman. One of the sweetest men you ever met in your life. A trustee here for many, many years. You never saw him. You never saw him to what he wasn't smiling. Brother and Sister Randolph. And not trying to leave anyone out. Just the different names that come across my path, my mind. Rhonda Turk. So many. But you know the wonderful news? You ever gone to a family reunion? Sure we have. What happens at a family reunion? Talk about the first one that leaves. No, you don't do that. What happens at a family reunion? You see people that you hadn't seen in years. But you pick up, brother, right where you left off. Because of Jesus, because of his grace.
you'll see that baby again. Because of Jesus. Because of grace. You'll see that spouse again that died in Christ. Because of Jesus, because of grace. You'll see that mom and dad that trusted Christ as their Savior. And by their godly example, you've now trusted Jesus as your Savior. Because of grace and Jesus, you're going to see that mom and dad again. Because of grace and Jesus. You're going to see that grandma and grandpa. Who chose to take you in. When aunts were saying, Mom and Daddy, you're too old to take in another child. Because of grace and Jesus. You'll see him again. Because of grace and Jesus, you'll see that Sunday school teacher who, because of their witness and because of their love for Christ, taught you about Jesus and you trusted Jesus as your Savior, they're now with the Lord. Because of grace and Jesus, you're going to see them again. Are you picking up on grace? Has it got a hold of you? We got far more than we ever have deserved. Because of grace in Jesus, he brings you to a church where 22 precious people still believe that God wasn't done with this church. And because of grace and Jesus, this church is over 200 now. Because of grace and Jesus. You say, oh, preacher, don't you ever think it's because of this or because of that or because of this person or because of that person that this church is what it is and has become what it is? Listen, I'm thankful to God for the many people that serve in this body. But collectively, may we all understand it's because of grace and Jesus, man, that she is what she is. It's because of grace and Jesus that on Saturday, you say, preacher, are you a prophet? No, 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 no. But if what has happened in the past will happen, if what has happened in the past happens on Saturday, you're going to see a demonstration of love this world doesn't understand because of grace in Jesus. This church has reached out over the years through times of death, through times of tragedy. Many of you sitting in this auditorium, many working in this in these different ministries tonight. I mean, we have a decent crowd in the sanctuary, but what we have total here, guys, we had to count 4,000? Huh? 40 in the sanctuary. 40 in the sanctuary. What do we have total, Steve? 175. Was that you that said one? Brother Wendell, did you say that when you first walked in? One. 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 175. You see how he lowered his voice? Thank you, Brother Wendell.
The church has reached out in a time of death in your family. Didn't even know you, Brother Conti. Didn't even know you. But we knew you were hurting. Layout viewing was a Sunday, I believe, when your boy passed away. Told the church, I said, hey, we're going to go love on that family. Went and loved on that family. The man who greets you every Sunday morning with a bulletin. It is John Lennon glasses. Because of grace in Jesus. Just tried to love on him. Say, preacher, where are you going with this? I've gone where I was going with it. The Lord took it in a different direction necessarily, but go home tonight. Get alone with the Lord. And just take a few minutes and thank him for grace. It's all possible because of grace and Jesus. Grace is found in him. The invitation tonight is this. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, sweet friend, my prayer is that you've seen him tonight, that you've seen his power, that you've seen his provision and what he can do in a life and what he can do in the life of anyone who will repent of their sin, asking God to forgive them of their sin, and by faith believing that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection, he did for you. And then believing, trusting him, asking him to save you, trusting in him and him alone to be your Savior. He'll save you. I promise you he will. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. He will save you if you trust him tonight. He will save you. And then you'll understand experientially of what it means, what grace really means. It's all possible. You say, preacher, that baby, that makes no sense at all that baby died. You're absolutely right. Humanly, it makes no sense at all. But the God that I serve, it was not an accident to him. He allowed that. That baby's with him. Amen? And I truly believe wholeheartedly, when we get to heaven, and you'll go there if you're born again, when we get to heaven, we'll pick up right where we left off, brother. We'll pick up right where we left off. This isn't the end, man. My, this isn't the end. That's why Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, Brother Stephen read it the other day, to the church at Thessalonica, for those that have gone to sleep, literally those that have died in Christ. When we talk about dying in Christ, we mean dying as a born again believer in Jesus. And Paul said, we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. No, if you've trusted in Jesus and you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection and you've been born again, there's sorrow, yes, but it's not hopeless sorrow. There's sorrow for the pain. There's sorrow for the hurt. But we're not hopeless. Because of grace and mercy, we're going to see him again, man. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Absolutely, deep conviction, I believe that. Why? It's on the authority of this book, man. The only book that God ever authored. That's why I believe it. Stand with me, please, for him imitation. We trust if the Lord has spoken to your heart that you'll respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. Just pray and talk to your Lord. Maybe tonight you can't wait. See, preacher, you talked about later on tonight getting alone with the Lord. I want to do it now. I just want to stop and do it now. Well, I encourage you to do that. Step out in the aisle, come to the altar, and just you and the Lord, you just do it now. Thank Him for grace. All right? You come. What's your number, Brian?
297.
297. 297? 297. You come as we say.